My name is Madeline. Today is September the 12th, 1980. This is Madeline Bubel interviewing Otilia, better known as Tilly Botter Noonan, at her home in Castroville, Texas. I am interviewing for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Project B. Now, Mrs. Noonan, did I get your name correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Before we get into the things we really want to know, which is family life, customs and traditions, I want to get a little bit of family background. Where were you born and who were your parents?
I was born here in Castroville. On the 5th day of September, 1900, I was a New Year baby.
Oh!
And my parents are Mary Catherine Schmidt. You ever like the Schmidts down here? Pronounce their name.
S-C-H-M-I-T-T. Mm-hmm. All right.
And my father was Joseph Francis Botter.
Was he a direct descendant of the Joseph Botter who came with Castro?
Yes. Yes, he was. He was a grandson of his.
Uh-huh. All right. And you were born here in Castroville, and you lived here as a young child?
Yes, I lived here until I was 10 years old, and then we just moved to Hondo. My father was elected sheriff of Medina County, and we moved to Hondo. And I was there 6 years, and then I came back to Castroville.
Oh, how interesting. Where was your home originally when you lived here in Castroville, the first 10 years of your life?
Where I was born,
yes,
is the home next door to the Noonan house up here, our Coran house.
That's over on the river.
Yes,
street.
It's on the river. Uh-huh.
The big Victorian house.
Yes, but I didn't live there. I lived next door.
Next door.
I lived there as a bride in the big house.
See. Well, we'll get to that later, that beautiful big house. All right. Now, what language did you speak in at home?
Alsatian. Alsatian. All of it was Alsatian. I was 12 years old and was going to public school before I really learned how to talk English. And the reason I had to learn is the kids made fun of me because I talked so funny. Like, for instance, that word shade and shadow is one word. But, of course, in English it's not. They would egg me on, you know, oh, look over here, look over here. And I'd say something about a girl's shade. And they would just be peals of laughter. And I had a wonderful teacher. Her name was Darden, Miss Darden. And she coached me extra in English after school. And she was really a wonderful, wonderful person. I don't know how she had that much patience. You know, take a raw Alsatian who didn't know anything at all and start talking English. Because I went to German school, but I have forgotten all of the German. See, I went over here to parochial school in my beginning. And then I went to a German teacher, had a German teacher, and I still kept on. But when I went into the public school, it was like a foreign language to me.
Well, were there any guilt feelings, or did anyone look down on you because you went to you were a Catholic child and went to a public school?
Lady, you know, I always sang, and there was a girl in my grade that was a very good, had a very nice voice. And the teacher was going to have a small, you know, just before classes. And she wanted us to sing together. And this girl came to school and she said, my mother said I couldn't sing with her. And the teacher, of course, not expecting that kind of an answer, and I was standing right there. She says, she's German, besides, she's Catholic.
Oh, my. So there was a lot of prejudice.
Oh, there was. There was. It was horrible.
All right. Do you think that, so that shows that the language barrier definitely affected your life?
Oh, yes, it did, from the very beginning on up. But with Miss Darden's help, 2 years of tutoring or coaching, I learned to talk English. And when my son came back and was English teacher at the university, some of the girls that used to make fun of me were there, and they wanted to know who the young man was. They thought he was my escort, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced him, and I said, he's an English teacher. And they looked at me so funny, and they says, oh, my goodness, we didn't know that. And I said, oh, there are a lot of things you don't know.
Well, your diction is beautiful. You never know that you...
Well, I'll tell you something else. Now, you can cut that off if you want to, or I haven't turned it on. But my teacher, Miss Darden, had me get the white cigarette paper. I think it was called St. Croix or something like that, white cigarette paper.
Mm-hmm.
And she had me paste it on my lips. And I would have to look in the mirror and practice which, where, what, when, why, where, things like those. And as long as the paper would flutter a little bit, I was getting it right. But when the paper stopped, I had to start over again. I was fussed at so many times for standing in front of the mirror talking to myself.
Well, fault in speaking English were you trying to eliminate by doing that? What letter or what sound?
It's V for W, by and bear and which and when.
And very.
Mm-hmm.
And wary instead
uh-huh,
of very,
uh-huh,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, she was must have been a fantastic lady.
Oh, she was. She was an old maid, and she was a little bit on the homely side. And she was a wonderful teacher, and she had so much patience. You know, when you take a group of 30 people at that age, it's hard to teach them because the boys are getting too smart for their britches, and the girls are at the giggling age. Well, that passed me by. I never was a giggler.
You said your father was sheriff, so was he always a county official, or?
No. In my younger days, he built railroads. He had railroad crews, builder crews. He had heavy machinery, you know, like Fresno's, and of course he did have the small, those little scoops with a mule, pulled by a mule. I'll be gone.
Take your time.
I just can't remember.
Well, it would be like some type of earth mover,
yes,
or something.
Yes,
to move.
Earth mover.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, he built railroads in New Mexico, Arizona, and clear on through into California. But there he came back. From there he came back.
And the daily routine in your home, did you have chores before you went to school?
Oh, yes. Not before I went to school, but when I came home in the evening. There was to gather the chips and bring in the kindling to feed my 15 cats. And then I'd have to go to the meat market and get the meat for the next day. And Mr. Franger would give me a big hunk of liver for my cats. He worked for Ed Hands over there.
Now, this was when you were here in Castroville?
Yes, that's when I lived here.
Okay. And then, what was your mother's role in the home? Was she strictly a homemaker?
My mother was a semi-invalid.
Oh.
Very, oh my gosh, I gotta get a fan in here. It's too hot.
Okay. And you say your mother was a semi-invalid?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excuse me, go ahead. How did that happen?
Well, I think when she was first married, she would help my father. He had cattle. See, in those days, there were no pastures. It was open country. And she helped him, and her horse stepped into a gopher hole, or gopher hole, mm-hmm. I don't know which. And the horse fell, and she fell, and after that she was never as well as she had been.
I should have asked you.
Of course, and having 9 children didn't help any.
I was just getting to that. How many brothers and sisters?
There were 6 girls and 3 boys. There were 4 girls, 3 boys, and 2 girls.
Would you give me their names?
Oh, yes.
Please.
Well, there's just one of us living, two of us living. Okay. It was Alice Birchweaver.
All right.
Elizabeth Youngman. Josephine Zimmerman. Paula Brown. And James E. Bader from, they call themselves Bader, I call it Botter. And then Oscar Botter and Alfred Botter. And then Mary Schwers and Tilly Newman.
All right. Were you the youngest?
Yes, ma'am.
You were the youngest. Okay. What about leisure at home? Did you?
We were great at singing. One of my sisters played the organ, and the greatest pleasure we had were to gather around that organ and sing.
Was this done frequently?
Oh, yes. We sang when there weren't too many dishes to wash. We sang nearly every evening. And that's where I learned to sing Latin. I could sing Latin before I could sing English.
Is that right? So therefore, you had some chores to do, but mm-hmm. Was education something that your parents wanted you to have?
Yes, up to a certain extent. But then after I got a little bit older and the rest of the children were gone, well, it fell to me to be the homemaker and, you know, I'll call it flunky.
The flunky.
And Mama would, at night, she couldn't sleep, and she'd wake up, and she'd ring that little bell. And you didn't let her ring it twice. So I guess with having to be confined into the home all that time and everything, she was irritable.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand that.
Right.
She was a housekeeper that wouldn't stop. If there was any dust anywhere, she told you about it. And she could walk into a room, glance around. I often think, wonder what Mom would say if she'd come in here sometimes.
I think we all think that. I think that too sometimes, you know. there's one thing. You said you were born in 1900, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. There's one thing that, or one building or set of buildings here that are here now, that you don't hear very much about, and I'm wondering if you remember. Do you remember the Bateses having a hotel and that saloon and dance hall?
Yes, uh-huh, sure.
Okay, would you describe the hotel to me?
Well, the hotel is where Gene is fixing it up, where the Ceases lived, my aunt was running it at that time. It was a little. I can't remember now. The Schmidt Hotel was a two-story building, facing the plaza, facing September Square, and that was the Schmidt Hotel mm-hmm. before they started this over at Bates's.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't last very long. It was too small a place. Now my aunt Bernadine Holthaus Schmidt was then proprietor there. And the bedrooms were over in the main building there, but the kitchen and the dining room were in a building in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And there were great big trees between there. It was just a shady, beautiful place, park-like place. Mm-hmm. Then where Gene Cease has his place of business now, that was a long building.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a porch clear across there.
Mm-hmm.
And very often she would have men folks, you know, when they'd come in there, they would stay over there. There were smaller rooms, and that's where they were. Now, that was it. Now, Otto Schmidt was running the saloon at that time, and that was on the corner, and the building was painted green, and it had an entrance. I always dreamed of someday having a home like that. It came out on the side, and then you walked inside, and there was a ramp. The steps were kind of oval shaped.
I see.
It was very pretty.
Do you know? Did you ever hear from any of your older ancestors, older people in the family, if there was a building on that lot before they put these wooden buildings there? Because those are relatively new compared to some of the other mm-hmm. buildings.
No, I don't remember, and I don't remember anybody saying that there was anything else there.
Okay.
Oh, a long, long time ago, that was a yard for people who came with horse and buggies, and they put their horses in there. But I couldn't tell you what year that was. Mm-hmm. But I believe that the buildings were there already, and that was over where the dance hall was built later on.
I see.
Where Mr. Cease has his garage and their home, the Charles Cease.
Right, Charles W. Cease.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So how many years did you actually go to school, Miss Noonan? Don't remember.
No. The reason why I did, I wouldn't say I went to school a whole year, because when Mom would be sick, I'd have to stay at home and take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the rest of the girls were gone. And I couldn't keep up with my grades. And this Miss Darden wanted me to take a correspondence course for high school. I was ready for high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to drop out in the middle of the semester, so there I was.
Right.
And it was unheard of, because the fees were so much a month and so much for each semester, and so the subject was dropped.
You mentioned that there was a lot of music in your home,
mm-hmm,
for your evening activities, your leisure. What about other cultural activities? Did your parents have steer you in any other direction culturally, let's say?
No. No. See, Castaville at that time was just a little bitty fly speck in the road. And we had to do our own things. Now, my grandmother was very active, Grandma Holt's house. She had a beautiful pot. It wasn't a patio, it was just a yard, and she'd sprinkle it down and sweep it. And they would dance out there at night, so, you know, in the evening. Somebody would play accordion, and they would dance, and boy, how did they have a real time. So I wasn't really into going out to parties and things like those.
Well, you were too young.
I was too young
the first time,
mm-hmm,
and then you moved to Hondo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about food as a daily routine? Were there any foods you could sort of plan on you were going to have on a certain day or anything?
Oh, yes. It's kind of a routine thing. On Sunday we had sweet potatoes and pork roast and sauerkraut and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it was always cake or pie. And my sister, Lizzie, was a great person to bake. She baked beautiful cakes and cookies and things. Well, see, with that many younger ones behind her, she was the second oldest. That many younger ones behind her, she'd bake 5 gallons of cookies at one sitting, which was very interesting. We baked our own bread, and of course sometimes we'd have biscuits, and my daddy loved cornbread, which I still despise to this day. And we'd have that, and then she'd fix hot cakes, then in the wintertime, of course, it was always pork and sausage and head cheese and liverwurst and all that kind of stuff.
So this was a customary food,
mm-hmm,
that the Alsatian family had in their home usually,
mm-hmm,
was the,
yes,
the things made out of pork.
Yes.
Like,
and the garden, we always had a big vegetable garden. And my oldest sister was very good at canning. She would can things, and people would say, oh, I wouldn't eat that. She put that in those jars, and she cooked them and set them out. And we had them all our lives, and it never did bother us. We didn't get sick from it.
She knew what she was doing.
Yes, she did. When she canned, we didn't dare go in the kitchen.
I see. All right, then. You said you moved back to Castorville at age 18.
Mm-hmm.
Did you come back as a bride, or did
I came
with your family?
I had a millinery shop. I stayed with that 2 years, and then decided to get married.
And who did you marry?
George Breckenridge Noonan.
All right. And what was your wedding date?
Oh. Could you believe it? If it'd be further back, I could remember it. No, I got married.
What year? That'll be fine.
In
1920.
In April the 14th, 1920.
And how many children did you and Mr. Noonan have?
We had four, two boys and two girls.
Would you give me their names, please?
Yes, and then I have my an adopted boy.
All right.
And my children's name is Jerome Francis Noonan and Elizabeth Catherine Noonan and Dorothy Leona Noonan Highsmith. I forgot Elizabeth's name is Blossing. And Rodney Ralph, better known as Joe Noonan. Mm-hmm.
And your adopted son?
And my adopted son, son is John Thomas Noonan. Mm-hmm. And he's in the United States Navy waiting for his retirement.
Wonderful.
Years.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a big traditional wedding?
No, we didn't, because just before the wedding, well, someone passed away, and you know, in those days, you didn't have these celebrations. No, I was married in just a brown suit with a matching hat and a blouse.
Did you get married on a Tuesday?
No, I didn't. I didn't get married on a Tuesday. It was on a Thursday, because Dad's birthday, he wanted to get married on his birthday, but his birthday was on Friday, and I said, no way.
Not on Friday, huh? Well, I'm sure you've heard and know this to be a fact that a lot of the couples did marry on a Tuesday.
Yes.
Do you know a reason for that?
No, I don't know exactly why it was done, but I kind of think it's because they all had big weddings, you know, and it had cake baking and all that kind of stuff, you know, getting ready for the wedding reception. And I think that was why, because on a Monday was wash day, whether it rained cats or hail dogs, you still had wash day on that day. And I think that it was, that was the reason. My sisters all married here in the St. Louis Church, except Mary and I. I married in St. John's. I did want to get married here in St. Louis. See, I was here, and Father Heckman was here at that time. He says, well, sure, I'll perform that ceremony and be glad to. And then my mother-in-law stepped in. Oh, she must be married in the church where her family is affiliated now. So that was the first.
Okay, so you think that it was just a convenient day?
It was a convenient day to get married,
All right.
And then usually, you know, the little couple would go maybe to San Antonio on a honeymoon or some little place like that, and then they would be back and go to church the next Sunday, and they usually had cutting of the wedding cake on the following Sunday.
Oh, they didn't?
No, the wedding cake was not cut was cut on the following Sunday. And they'd have, you know, like my sisters had the choir girls and the bridesmaid. Of course, then they didn't have 15, 20 bridesmaids. They just had the two attendants and, you know, the maybe two bridesmaids, mm-hmm. or something like that. Maid of honor, I guess, and the bridesmaid. But other than that, no, they didn't have these big elaborate weddings.
Well, did they have dances sometimes?
Yes, sometimes they didn't have a dance, but lots of times they had dances at night, the night of the wedding.
Okay. Did they always wear white, the brides?
As far as I know, yes. The ones that were married here after, you know, in my time, mm-hmm. after 1900. Mm-hmm. But before that, as a rule, the brides wore black.
Really?
My mother was dressed in a black dress, her mother was dressed in a black dress, and black. And I don't know why, I imagine that it's because of scarcity of material, and they had to wear those dresses.
That's very possible.
I think that was the reason for it.
All right, there was a custom where when the couple came out of church, the next thing was to go to the priest's house to mm-hmm. register. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the altar boy stopping the couple? And this was a tradition for a long time.
Yes, it was. Even when I got married in 1920, the little altar boys were standing there.
They wouldn't let you go through the gate.
No, they wouldn't let you.
Until
they stayed right there.
Until they got some money.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it was just a dime or something like that, mm-hmm. a piece for them. And sometimes some people, well, of course, those that could do it were very generous.
Okay. What about charivaris?
Well, I had a charivari, but, you know, they had had to take my mother-in-law to San Antonio. She was going to stay here with the children until we got back. And she took sick, and they had to rush her to San Antonio, and so we had to come back. And that night they gave us a charivari. But that was where a widower gave those charivaris.
That was the reason being because it was a second marriage. Do mm-hmm. you think that it might have been a way of celebration, since there hadn't been probably a reception of any kind? Do you think this was
well,
the meaning of it?
Well, it could have been. It could have been.
So let's see. We can say this. We had the custom of the altar boys. I wonder when that. We think that it probably stopped when they took took the fence down around the church. You know, we're not sure. Okay. So there. The wedding attire for the bride changed after the turn of the century to
yes.
the white
uh-huh,
dress
uh-huh,
and the
uh-huh.
veil and all.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, the baby years ago would be at home. Is this
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. It was kept at home until the time of the funeral. And the funeral was usually after dinner.
They didn't go to Mass in the morning?
Well, they did have a Mass, but the funeral was after dinner, most of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about the wakes? Staying with the body. Can you describe that to
all relatives and close friends? And they would take turns about, you know, one group would come in now, and then another group would go in later, and they stayed there all night or two nights. As a rule, they kept them two nights.
I wonder, do you have any idea why this was done?
Because the body wasn't embalmed, and you know, there was no funeral home or anything like that, and the car, it was for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what was the period of mourning usually after a funeral?